KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Alliance Saving Kids. Mask started our 22nd year last week, and we've already serviced over 50,000 families that have reached out to Mask over the years for referrals, support group, parenting classes, single parent, divorced families, all issues relating to our family members, ourselves, our spouses. If somebody wants to do a program in your home, in your community, in your school, we can get you the best therapist, the best professionals to come do a program in all mental health issues, including addiction. So our number, confidential, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., is 718-758-0400. If you know somebody that can benefit from calling Mask for a referral, please jot down our number. I'll repeat it. Maybe it's for yourself, for your spouse, maybe a child, maybe your neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Please write down Mask's confidential helpline number, 718-758-0400. And if somebody you know would benefit from having a naloxone kit for prevention of opioid overdose, we can come to your house and deliver one. We could train you in your home how to administer naloxone, God forbid if it's needed. So our number is 718-758-0400. And tonight I have with us a very dear colleague, somebody that has been a psychotherapist in the Frum community for the past 22 years, sorry, for 12 years, and that is Yitzi Horowitz. Thank you for coming on tonight to Family Matters Show. Thank you, Yitzi. How are you?
Very well, Rukama. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity. Let me first congratulate you on 22 years at Mask. I have known Mask since its inception, and you guys have done and continue to do remarkable and beautiful work in the community, and you really deserve a tremendous yashar koach for everything that you've done. So thank you.
Thank you. And of course, I always say it is not me alone. It is with my staff and our supervisors, clinical supervisors, that we're able to help the cloud every day. So, Yitzi, I just want to add to your bio that our listeners know that we sit on a board together. You are part of the executive board of Nefesh International, which I'm a board member. You're a secretary of the executive board, of the whole board. And we do a lot of programs with Nefesh. And just for my listeners, I'd like to add that Nefesh International is a group of over 800 from Jewish therapists, both from and Jewish, who get trainings, who attend Shabbaton, like a four-day from Thursday until Sunday night program conference with professional speakers that are trained, where they get CU credit. I mean, serious trainings, very high caliber, picked therapists and professionals that all the 500 attendees that we just had in December were able to get trainings. So it's important to know that when you pick a therapist, when you dial the number to whatever therapist somebody may be using, whether they're Nefesh affiliated or not, one should be asking, who supervises you? It's an okay question to ask, and we're encouraging that you ask it, because therapists should be in supervision. So we must know who we're going to, that it's an okay question. So please, let's get right to it, Yitzi. I want to talk about your clients that knock on your door when they're ready to, what should we say, unpack their baggage or whatever it is they want to come and talk to you about and figure out what's going on in their lives. And many times, there are religious challenges that people come to you, I'm sure, to talk about whatever issues, OCD, for instance, and they're davening over and over for long periods of time, etc. So I want you to please tell us about some of those challenges that people may be seeing and presenting with.
Okay. Well, I do want to be clear that in no way am I going to share anything about the particular people that come to see me. I always get concerned that people shouldn't think that if I'm going to talk in any public way that I'm actually talking about them. So if we can put that disclaimer on the side for a minute, yes, as a frum therapist working pretty much solely in the frum community in New York, it's bound to happen that religiousness or Yiddishkeit is going to come up in session. And sometimes it comes up because that's part of the presenting problem that makes their way to me. And sometimes I initiate and ask specific questions about a person's, I guess I would say, relationship with Yiddishkeit.
Religion.
So let me, yeah. You were going to say something?
Right. For those that may not know what Yiddishkeit means, I'm just saying religion. Mm-hmm. So are there psychotherapy and Torah, are they compatible with each other? Like, does it always have to come into the room, or do you focus sometimes without it?
Yeah, so let me see if I can kind of unpack some of the questions that you pose. Certainly, if you look historically backwards, psychology and religion, up until fairly recently, have had a very bad relationship with each other, so that the field of modern psychology really has not liked religion. And religion has had somewhat of an equal response of dislike and really distrust for the field of mental health. Looking around at what's happened in the field in the last 20 years, not just in the Jewish world, but religion and psychology have begun to make significant strides in repairing that kind of break. Certainly in the Orthodox Jewish community, there's been an explosion of religious therapists as well as religious people seeking psychotherapy, and as we see more specifically, religious people seeking out religious psychotherapists. The question of whether or not a therapist should be discussing religious matters with their clients or not, I think is a touchy one. I certainly, in my own practice, feel comfortable discussing religious issues with my clients, and perhaps I'll explain what I mean by that in a second, but not everybody that presents for psychotherapy presents with a religious issue, and not everybody that presents with a religious issue is the issue necessarily religious. So, for example, if somebody comes to me to talk about their tremendous guilt that they have about religion, I am a psychotherapist. I am not a rav, I'm not a rabbi, and I'm certainly not a religious authority in any way. And it's my duty to tease out the presenting problem, a problem of psychology. Is it a person's anxiety, guilt? Is it the anxiety or shame or guilt? Or is it a religious matter that they better be off, better deal with their rabbinic authority? And that's something that I think every therapist needs to weed out. There certainly are areas in life where there are incompatibilities between psychology and Torah, but perhaps if we put that on the side for a minute, I think that people, certainly people that are raised in religious communities, relate to their religious identities as being the end-all and be-all of everything. So that religion, religious community, religious life, religious ritual, mitzvos, averos, these are the things that are the bedrock of many people's lives, for better and for worse. What I mean by that is that, for the most part, religion is a good, empowering, and healthy part of people's lives. But for some people, it's not that way. For some people, religion can be a touchy, sensitive subject. But I think that if we think about it, for many people, their religious lives are the context through which they see and experience everything. So they go to work, they go about their day, whether it's a mother raising a family, or a woman who's out at work, or a person who's in kollel, or a man who works, whatever it is, but religion seems to be the bedrock of how they see everything. Going to see a therapist means that they are questioning and thinking about and learning to reflect on what their lives are about. And I think that some therapists, perhaps rightfully so, are concerned about whether or not they want to address the psychological underpinnings of a person's relationship with religion. Do I want to ask my clients whether or not they believe in Hashem? Do I want to ask them about whether or not religion is a power of good in their life, or maybe religion is not a power of good, and maybe that might be hard for my client to think about if that sits at the bedrock of their existence. Now, for some people, they come to therapy with a very clear picture that religion is not working for them. But for others, I don't know. It's a sensitive question. And I think every therapist needs to think about whether or not whether or not they're comfortable asking these questions of their clients, which clients should be asked those questions, what questions should be asked, and how much we pry into what for many people is the bedrock of their existence. So it's certainly a complex and sensitive topic.
You know, Yitzi, parents call our helpline, and many a time they say, my daughter, my son, my spouse, or myself has issues with religion. And if they're talking about everyone besides themselves and they're having the issue that their loved one is not interested in the religion or giving up some of the rituals that their family have followed until now, it becomes an issue for themselves, and not always is the person, the identified client, whoever that is, let's talk about a son or a daughter. So not always does the son or daughter want to be as religious as the parent, and a lot of the work what we tell the parent is that they really need to figure it out for themselves. It's between them and God. And hopefully by going to a professional therapist such as yourself, a psychotherapist, they're able to first figure out what's going on in their lives. And sometimes a religious issue comes much later on down the road. And they do come back. Not always. I'm wondering, when is it incompatible? When is it, from your point of view, that you don't want to go there? You don't want to speak about the religion?
That's a great question. I think that, number one, in situations where there's significant trauma and that trauma is linked back to something specific in the religious community, or a trauma is linked to religious ritual. So, for example, a person who might have been molested in a yeshiva setting, or a person who might have been really shamed by their parents or by a rabbi about their religious experiences in life. A person like that who presents to therapy dysregulated, having a really hard time keeping it together in life in general, that's the kind of person that I would stay away from talking about the specifics of their religious life, because, you know, the question, I think, that really underlies this discussion is how much of psychology, how much of mental health is needed for a person to be religious? You see, I think that in religion, we discuss religion as being the bedrock of everything, right? The relationship with Hashem we have, and how we relate to Torah, and how many mitzvahs and averos that we do, and how much we are part of community. That seems to be the underlying bedrock of everything. What psychology says is yes, but you need to also be a healthy person, and perhaps you need to be a healthy person first before you can talk about religion. So when certain clients come in and their lives have been really negatively affected by religion itself, then I'm certainly not going to advocate or have much of a discussion about religion per se and what religion is or isn't. I'm certainly going to want to hear about their trauma, because we need to rebuild a person, repair a person. And it's certainly my belief and my chinuch that a person, derech eretz kadma l'Torah, if a person's not a person, a person's not able to function in life, then relating to Hashem means that you first start to rebuild a human life. But there are situations where religion itself comes under fire in a therapist's office. So I might sit with a person who has all kinds of feelings and thoughts about religion and have them say to me all different kinds of things that I might know in my heart of hearts, or I might know from my studies or from my rebbeim, that there are things that they're saying that are not true about religion, that are unfair to say about religion. But I need to ask the question, is there any point in me arguing that with my client? In the situation that you mentioned about a parent or a relative who goes through the experience of having a relative of theirs who is leaving religion, there are some significant questions that they need to ask themselves. They need to ask themselves, how can I learn to relate to my son who went off to Derech, or my parent, for that matter, who goes off to Derech? How am I going to relate to that person and retain a relationship and retain connection and retain unconditional love, especially if it's a parent to a child? How am I going to do that in the face of the often tremendous disappointment that comes along with, you know, you've given up what we hold to be true. You've given up what we value the most. You've given up on what we've raised you with. And because in religion, which is different than the world of psychology, in religion there is a notion of Kol Yisrael are Reivim Zeh LaZeh, and there is a concept of caring about another person's religious lifestyle. I know that's not necessarily something that everybody wants to hear, but religion does advocate for trying to enhance each other's religiousness, and that sometimes gets really triggered in people when their closest discussions is research. Research, research, research. You know, I spoke somewhere once, and I made the comment that modern psychology and religion are fundamentally not at odds with each other. And somebody raised their hand and said, no, I'll give you a whole bunch of examples of how they are fundamentally opposed to each other. And I went through them one by one, and at least in my humble opinion, I dismantled pretty much everything that the questioner had said. I think that if we, especially today, in the world where there's so much information and misinformation about psychotherapy and about religion, that it behooves us to be able to study religion through the lens of psychology and really ask the question, how much does Hashem care about the mental health of people? And not just the mental health of people, but how much of religion is Hashem-centered and how much of religion is actually human-centered? And to me, that's where a lot of these questions need to go, because when we are looking to help people live lives that are rich, meaningful, and also full of love and full of connection, and we have religion in the middle of that, or religion at the base of that, then we need to be able to see where in religion we can make these things work. Can I share with you a quote that a client recently bring in to a session Right. with me?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is a quote from the famous, some would say a militant atheist, but certainly a brilliant, brilliant writer and scientist. His name is Richard Dawkins. A client of mine brought this into me and said to me, you know, finally I found somebody, this is a firm client, finally I found somebody that can explain God in one sentence. And this was the quote, and I will put out there a trigger warning and say this is not going to be a positive quote. But I do want to say this. He said to me, Richard Dawkins writes in a book called The God Delusion, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction, jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully." And my client handed me this piece of paper and said to me, this it has been my experience growing up in the firm world in New York. And I said to him, you know, it's certainly a very bold statement to make, and I certainly appreciate your pain, and I'm very happy to continue along the lines of your therapy and continue to help you. Certainly sitting with a yarmulke on my head, I don't necessarily agree with that characterization of Hashem, but I think many people carry that very unfortunate picture of what Hashem looks like. And I think it's important for us as a community to not simply say that we need to put religion on the side, but we need to actually study the depths of religion to find how we don't perpetuate religion and Hashem in the negative way that so many people carry around, which, again, I'm not lambasting the system. I'm simply saying that I myself, as well as many of my colleagues, see the proof in the pudding that many people carry around religious trauma. And our ability to research and, if you will, rebrand religion in a way that we see the meaning and the tremendous love that Hashem has for people and the beauty of what it means to be a human being in the eyes of God, then we might have a chance of not just bridging the gap, but being able to show the way psychology and religion are in many ways the same thing.
So I agree with what you're saying about the trauma that many of these kids, whether they were molested, whether they're atheists now because a teacher, a rabbi embarrassed them in a classroom or in the synagogue and shul, whatever it may be, and we're not here to bash anyone, but the reality is we have spoken to over 50,000 families in the 21 years that we just completed. And we do know that the underlying pain that can happen in elementary age students, that when they were in first grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, whatever grade, they're not acting out the same as when they now become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, young adults, teenagers. They're told they're going to be bas mitzvah and bar mitzvah when they're 12 and 13. They're told you're going to be a man, you're going to have to fill in, now you're a man. You could bench in a mezumen with all of us, lead the prayer for after eating, or the in synagogue for those that are listening in that don't understand any of the religious words we're using, just to give you an idea. And the truth is, Yitzi, a lot of the young adults that are letting religion go by the wayside, many of them, it started a long time ago. So going to a therapist, a professional like Yitzi Horowitz, who is a psychotherapist, he can help in the psychotherapy end, but he can also bring up when the client is ready to touch on this very sensitive and for many painful topic about religion and being it present or not present in one's life. Yitzi is definitely somebody that we can all trust to send clients to and discuss these topics. So I want to thank you, Yitzi, for being on with us tonight. And
sure.
I just want to let everybody know, anyone that wants to reach Yitzi, he has a practice in Brooklyn and in Cedarhurst. You can call the Mask helpline at 718-758-0400. And we can then get you to speak with Yitzi to make an appointment or just go for a consultation even. Yitzi, what do you want to leave our listeners with quickly, please?
Sure. Well,
again,
thank you again, Ruhama, but thank you really to Mask, because you guys were one of the first in the Jewish community, those that are in pain and those that are sometimes less fortunate, but certainly to be able to be a source and a beacon of light for Klal Yisrael, that's certainly something that you guys get a standing ovation for.
Thank you. Thank you again. With my staff, of course, we're ready, 718-758-0400. And just, I remember a little saying, don't
right.
tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is. So I want to thank you, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and
thank you.
Have a good night.
Hi, this is Michael Fragan, inviting you to join us tonight at 10 p.m. for a special live call-in show with New York City Councilman Eric Ulrich. Eric Ulrich is the Republican candidate for New York City Public Advocate in the special election that will be held this Tuesday, February 26th. Please listen in and call us with your questions right here on 620 a.m. at 10 p.m. Thank you.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.